talk about the exact partition function of n equal 4 qubit quantum mechanics by using the localization techniques. This work is based on this paper, which was done with Kazutoshi Ohta. Let me start with a brief introduction and motivation of why we study one-dimensional n equal 4 qubit quantum mechanics. About 10 years ago, Deneff proposed that one-dimensional n equal 4 qubit quantum mechanics describes the low-energy dynamics of much-centered BPS particles or much-centered BPS black holes in four-dimensional n equal 2 supergravity theory. Let me show you a simplest example, which is a two-node, abelian two-node qubit, which has K arrows. This theory is U1 times U1 gauge theory, which has a K chiral match plates in bifundamental representation. And in this theory, we assume we consider the Fayette-Leopold's parameter theta. And Deneff proposed that this qubit theory corresponds to the two charged BPS particles in the supergravity theory, and one has a charge gamma 1, and the other has a charge gamma 2, and the Schrödinger product of the Schrödinger product of these BPS particles is given by K, and the K is not zero. And this K corresponds to the number of chiral match plates in the qubit theory. And we also have phases of the central charge in the supergravity theory, alpha 1 and alpha 2, and these parameters correspond to the FY parameter by the following expression. And then I found that the distance between these BPS particles is given by the following expression, and in the second equality, we use the correspondence between the supergravity and the qubit theory. And now we assume K is positive. K is the number of chiral match plates. And in this case, from this expression, we find that R distance is positive only when theta is positive. And this means that if theta is positive, these two BPS particles are bounded like this. But if theta becomes negative, these particles decay. And this is so-called wall crossing phenomenon in the supergravity context. And in this case, the marginal stability wall is located at theta equals zero, which is the border of the stability. And it is known that the index jumps across the wall of marginal stability, and the change of the index is given by the following formula, which is known as a primitive wall crossing formula. And the omega on the right-hand side is the intrinsic index of each BPS particle. And recently, more general wall crossing formula for refined index has been studied by the following people. And especially, Manshot, Peering, and Sen derives such a wall crossing formula by using the some localization on the supergravity side. Here, today I'm going to talk about the localization of the partition function and of the n equal 4 qubit quantum mechanics. And we exactly calculate the partition function of this theory. And our result agrees with the wall crossing formula and also Reinecke's formula, which is a Poincaré polynomial, which is a formula for the Poincaré polynomial of qubit moduli space. And very recently, the following three groups also derived the partition function of qubit quantum mechanics by using similar localization techniques. But we computed the partition function, including a non-abelian two-node qubit. And let me show you some example. And this is this qubit is a U2 times U3 gauge theory, which has a three chiral match plate. And by using the localization, our result is given by the following polynomial, and the t is given by exponential of I beta epsilon, and the beta is the periodicity of the time direction, Euclidean time direction, and epsilon is some mass deformation parameter of the theory. I'll explain later. And actually, this polynomial is completely agree with Reinecke's formula, and also Wall-Clausen formula. When we set each BPS particle, when we set the index of each BPS particle is set to one. Okay, then let's move on to the detail of the theory. But at first, I'm going to talk about the n equal 4 UN supersymmetric quantum mechanics. This theory is given by the dimensional reduction of four-dimensional n equal 1 UN supersymmetric gauge theory. And after the dimensional reduction, we have SU2 times U1 R symmetry. And this SU2 comes from a part of Lorentz symmetry of the original four-dimensional theory. But now, after the dimensional reduction, this SU2 is just a global symmetry. And this U1R is the same as the original R symmetry of the four-dimensional theory. And this theory has a vector matchplet and a chiral matchplet. So I'm going to talk about the vector matchplet. A vector matchplet is composed of a gauge field A0, which is now one component field because we are considering the one dimensional theory. And we have a three real scalar Xi, and we have a two complex fermion lambda alpha and one real auxiliary field D. And these guys are in the adjoint representation of UN gauge groups, and the representation under the R symmetry is given by the following table. And to apply the localization, we have to introduce the BRST charge, which is a nilpotent supercharge in this system. And our choice is given by the following. And to obtain the BRST transformations, we have to redefine the fields like this. And now our new fields for bosons are Z and Z bar, which are now complex field, and the sigma and A and YR, which are real. And this YR is a new auxiliary field, and the old one is a D, and we shifted D by this quantity. And also we have new redefinitions of fermionic fields like this. And after the redefinitions of the fields, we obtain the following BRST transformations. And actually this Q is nilpotent up to the time translation and some gauge transformation. But for the localization to work, we have to introduce the background gauge field of R symmetry, or we can say a chemical potential of R symmetry. But of course, R symmetry is a global symmetry. So we have to localize such a global symmetry. But after the redefinitions, the original R symmetry is completely spoiled. But the action is still invariant under the following U1 symmetry, which we call U1 prime J. And we localize this global symmetry. And after the localization of this U1 prime J, the time derivative of the Z and the lambda Z becomes the covariant derivative. And we put the constant background gauge field, which we call epsilon. And then the previous BRST transformations are modified like this. And the following, these two equations are modified because we had the time derivative here. So in that sense, by introducing the background gauge field of R symmetry, the field Z get a mass epsilon. And so in that sense, this epsilon is a sort of mass deformation parameter of this theory. Next, I'm going to talk about the chiral multiplet. Chiral multiplet is composed of a complex scalar field Q and two component fermion psi alpha and one complex auxiliary field F. And the representation under the R symmetry is given by the following table. The R is the R charge of Q. And in the previous, in the same way as a vector multiplet, we redefine the fields like this. And YC is a new auxiliary field of the chiral multiplet, and we shifted the F by this quantity. And after the redefinition of the fields, we get the following BRST transformation for chiral multiplet. And including the chiral multiplet, this theory has the following global symmetry. This is a U1 times U1, so we call this symmetry as a U1 prime J times U1 prime R. And in the same way as the vector multiplet, we localize the, those global symmetry. And after the gauging the, this R symmetry, the BRST transformations becomes the following. And here we have two kinds of mass deformation parameter. One is epsilon, which is a constant background gauge field for U1 prime J. And another one is epsilon tilde, which is a constant background gauge field for U1 prime R. Okay, next I'm gonna talk about the Kuiper quantum mechanics. Kuiper quantum mechanics is composed of a node and arrows like this. This is the simplest example of Kuiper diagram. And each node represents a vector multiplet of in the adjoint representation of UN. And each arrow represents a chiral multiplet in the bifundamental representation. And the number of arrows correspond to the number of chiral multiplet. And in this case, in this theory, the BRST transformation of vector multiplet at node V is given by the following expression. And here we define the phi like this. And phi is a kind of complexified gauge field because the imaginary part of phi is given by the gauge field. And actually, this Q is nilpotent up to the time translation and the gauge transformation with gauge potential phi and some U1 transformation. And phi has a property that Q phi equal to zero. And in the same way, the BRST transformation for the chiral multiplet is given by the following. And now, we defined epsilon A, which is defined by the R charge of QA and times epsilon tilde. And then you can find that this theory is the action of this theory is a Q exact action, a Q exact form like this. And this SV is an action for vector multiplet. And this FV is fermions of the vector multiplet. And SC is an action for chiral multiplet. And FA is a fermions of the chiral multiplet. And here we have this term. And this mu r is given by the following expression, and mu c is given by the following expression. And at the end of the day, as these mu r and mu c become the constant in the path integral. So we call, and the mu r is a real, so we call mu r d term constant, and mu c is a complex, so we call mu c f term constant. But these constraints is not the same as the classical D flatness and F flatness condition, because the D flatness condition, classical D flatness condition, is given by the second term of this expression. And if there is no superpotential, there is no classical F flatness condition. And this difference comes from the redefinition of the auxiliary field. In this talk, we don't consider the superpotential, but if we consider the superpotential, we have a superpotential term. We have to add the derivative of superpotential here and here. And now we want to consider the relative part of the partition function. And so we want to decouple the center of mass. So to do so, we have to impose the following condition to the FI parameters. And in mathematics, this condition is so-called called theta stability condition. Okay, then next I'm going to talk about the localization briefly and the exact partition function of Kuiper quantum mechanics. To obtain the refined index or written index, we from the partition function, we have to compactify the time direction like this. And the beta is the periodicity of the Euclidean time. And we impose the periodic boundary condition for bosons and fermions. And here, Fi is a we denote Fi as a fermionic field and Bi as bosonic fields, except for complexified gauge field phi. And generically, the Q exact action takes the following form. And we introduce the coupling T and T prime. And mu I is a D term and F term constraint. And this type of action is known as a cohomological field theory. And the action is now Q exact, so the partition function and also the expectation value of the Q closed operator of this theory are independent of the couplings T and T prime. And this fact leads to the localization. And actually, by manipulating the limit of T and T prime, the fixed point, the field configuration is localized. The BRC fixed point QF equals zero on the consonant mu I equal to zero. So the total fixed point of the field configuration is given by the this point. Let me show you. Let me see why the field configuration is fixed on the consonant. To see this, we only consider the bosonic part of the action, and we explicitly write down the dependence of the auxiliary field like this. So now, this F is a fermionic field except for the superpartner of the Y, because we write down the Y square here. So after completing the square and by shifting the variable Y, we get the following expression. And we can easily integrate over Y prime, because this is a Gaussian. So we have this factor in the action. And so in the partition function, we have the following factor. And by taking the T prime goes to minus infinity, this factor becomes zero if mu is not equal to zero. And if mu is equal to zero, this is trivially one. So by taking the limit of T prime, this is just a one. So this gives a constraint. So by taking this limit, the field configuration is localized on the constraint mu equal to zero. And after this procedure, by taking T prime goes to infinity, This part is localized at the Gaussian fixed point, QF equal to zero. So that's why the field configuration is localized these points. But we have a Gaussian integration, so we have a one-loop determinant for the Gaussian integration, and the formula of the one-loop determinant is given by the following expression. And here we denote phi star as a finite set of fixed points, BRCD fixed points, on the D-term and F-term constraints. Then, totally, the localization formula of the partition function is given by the following expression. And here we have a one-loop determinant for ghost here. So next, I'm going to talk about the gauge fixing of this theory. After the redefinitions, the theory seems to have a GLNC gauge symmetry, which with a complexified gauge field phi. And actually, it is known that in this theory, the vacuum moduli space is given by the solution of the D-term constraint and the F-term constraint divided by UN gauge group. And it is known that this is equivalent to the solution of F-term constraints divided by GLNC. So we can use the GLNC rotation instead of by taking into account of the D-term constraint. So now we use the GLNC rotation, and using the GLNC rotation, we take the diagonal gauge condition. Then the phi becomes a diagonal matrix. But we still have some gauge degrees of freedom after this gauge fixing. So we have to impose the remaining D-term constraints after the gauge fixing. So we cannot neglect the D-term constraint. We impose the diagonal gauge, and after that, we impose the remaining D-term constraint. After the gauge fixing, we obtain the following Gauss action, and from this action, we obtain the one-loop determinant of the Gauss. And in the second line, we use the infinite product representation of the sine hyperbolic function. And now I'm going to talk about the partition function of Kuiper quantum mechanics. After the gauge fixing, one of the BRCD equations says that delta phi equal to zero. So this means that phi should be constant. The field configuration of phi is now constant. And so now the path integral over phi becomes the ordinary integral over phi. And by using the previous formula of the one-loop determinant, we get the one-loop determinant of vector match plate like this, and the one-loop determinant of the chiral match plate like this. And both expression has a sine hyperbolic function like this, and the total partition function is given by the following expression. And this 1 over n factorial factor comes from the wild permutation of the gauge groups, and the integration over phi becomes a residual integration. And let me give a few comments. At first, since the integrand of the partition function depends on the relative variables like this, because we are considering the Kuiper theory, so one trivial integration is left, which leads to the trivial divergence. But that comes from the center of mass motion. So now we want to decouple such a center of mass motion. So we will decouple such a trivial divergence. And next, as I mentioned earlier, we should not choose all poles in the denominator of the partition function, because the denominator of the partition function denotes the BRC fixed points. But we have to choose poles which satisfy the F-term and D-term constraints. And finally, the integrand of the partition function has infinitely many poles because the denominator is given by the sine hyperbolic function. But these poles are related to the large gauge transformation like this, and W is an integer. But since the integrand of the partition function is invariant under this large gauge transformation, the partition function trivially diverges if we take into account all of the poles because the summation of W remains trivially. So to avoid this, we only pick up one of the poles in the psi hyperbolic function. Or equivalently, we divide the partition function by this large gauge transformation. OK, next, I'm going to talk about the examples of the Kuiper quantum mechanics and the exact results. At first, I'm going to talk about the abelian two-node case, which is given by the following Kuiper diagram. And at this node, we have z and phi, which are a vector match plate. And z tilde and phi tilde lives at this node, and these guys are vector match plate. And we have K complex scalar field QA. And so the index A runs from 1 to K. And the BRST equation, namely QF equal to 0, says that following two equations. And from the first equation, we find that there is no F-term constraint because F-term constraint is proportional to the Z and Z tilde. So in this case, there is no F-term constraint. And from the second equation, we can solve this equation, and the solution is given by the following. Namely, one of the components of QA can be non-vanishing like this. And in this case, phi minus phi tilde plus I epsilon L equal to 0. And the second equation means that we pick up the pole at this point. But there are k choices of non-vanishing component because the index A runs from 1 to k, so there are totally k fixed points. And at the fixed point, the D-term constraint becomes the following equation. But we have a theta stability condition here, so one of the equation is independent. And if theta 1 is positive, the D-term constraint is satisfied. So we can choose a pole at this point. But if theta is negative, this cannot be satisfied because the left-hand side is the average solid square, so it's a positive. So in this case, the D-term constraint is not satisfied, so we cannot take pole at this point. So in this case, the partition function must vanish. So this is so-called wall-crossing phenomenon in this context. And if theta 1 is positive, we pick up this pole and by taking the summation over the fixed points, we obtain the integration over phi, we obtain the following result. And here T is given by the exponential of I beta epsilon. And surprisingly, the epsilon A dependence has disappeared. And actually, this result completely agrees with the Poincaré polynomial of CPK minus 1, which is a classical Higgs branch moduli space of this theory. And also, our result agrees with the primitive wall crossing formula by setting square root of t equal to minus y and setting the each, B, uh, each, intrinsic index equal to 1. Next, I'm going to talk about the U1 times UN gauge theory, UN Kuiper quantum mechanics with K arrows. In this case, we have a vector multiplet Z and phi at this node, and Z tilde and phi tilde at this node. But now this is a UN group, so Z tilde is now n by n complex matrix. And the chiral multiplet is a bifundamental representation, so the index is given by I and A, and I is given by the following. And to obtain the partition function of this theory, at first we assume Z tilde is diagonal. And in this case, from the BRC, solving the BRC equation, we find that Z tilde is zero. So in this case, there is no F-term constraint. And the BRC fixed point for Q, BRC fixed point for the chiral multiplet is given by the following. And this is just an example for n equals 3 and k equals 5. And when n equals 3, we have four integration variables, namely phi and phi 1 tilde, phi 2 tilde, and phi 3 tilde. But integration variables is center of mass. So we decouple such divergence. So we only pick up three poles in the partition function. And correspondingly, we choose non-vanishing three non-vanishing component in the QA I. And this is just an example. And the star means a non-vanishing component. But we cannot choose the non-vanishing component in the same column and in the same row, because in that case, the partition function actually vanishes. And by considering the wild permutation, totally, we have a KCN fixed points. And at the fixed point, the D-term constraint becomes the following equations. And solving the D-term constraint, the solution is given by the following. And this solution exists only if theta 1 is positive. Then, after the residual integration, we obtain the following partition function. And this partition function agrees with the Poincaré polynomial of Grassmannian, which is a classical Higgs branch moduli space of this theory. And this is the final result. But in this calculation, we could choose poles from the vector multiplet. But in that case, here we assume the Z tilde is diagonal. But we could choose the off-diagonal component of Z tilde. But in that case, the fixed points do not satisfy the F-term and D-term constraints. So this fixed point, we cannot pick up poles from the vector multiplet. So that's why this is the final result. And next, I'm going to talk about the U2 times U3 gauge theory, which has a K arrows. And in this case, after the gauge fixing, we have a phi 2 by 2 diagonal matrix at this node, and 3 by 3 diagonal matrix at this node. And also, we have a bifundamental complex scalar field QAIJ prime. And IJ prime, I runs from 1 and 2, and J prime runs from 1 and 3. And in the same way as the previous example, we cannot choose poles from the vector multiplet because in those cases, the constraints do not satisfy. So we only consider the fixed point of the chiral multiplet. And the BRC equation of the chiral multiplet is given by the following equation. And now we have five integration variables, phi 1, phi 2, phi 1 tilde, phi 2 tilde, and phi 3 tilde. But one of those is center of mass. So we choose four poles in the partition function. So correspondingly, we choose four non-vanishing components of QAIJ prime. And this is a possible set of the non-vanishing component of Q. And this matrix shows that the non-vanishing component of Q. And for example, if we have A in the 1-1 component in this matrix, this means that we have a non-vanishing Q11A component. And in the same way, we have a B in the 1-2 component. This means that we have a non-vanishing Q12B component. But we cannot choose A equal B, A equal C, and C equal D, because in those cases, the partition function vanishes. So we don't have to count such case. And in this case, this type of fixed point actually satisfies the D-term constraint if theta 1 is positive. And also, we have a similar five contribution like this. So totally, total number of fixed point of this type is given by the following number. And you may come upon with the following contribution, but these guys are not, the first one does not satisfy the D-term constraints, so it's rejected. And this type is also rejected because of some inconsistency of the BIST equations. But according to the Reinecke's formula, the Euler number of the Higgs branch moduli space of this theory is given by the following number. In the previous type, the total number of the previous fixed points is given by this, this quantity. So we have another we should find out another fixed point whose number is given by following. And to find out the to find out the remaining fixed points, we have to go back to the original expression of the partition function. And this is the original expression of the partition function. And at first we pick up the following poles from the chiral match plate. And by using the matrix representation, these three poles is represented by this. And we have two types. And after integrating over phi 1 tilde and phi 2 tilde and phi 3 tilde, after the calculation of the residue integration, we find the following factor in the integrand. And so we have new poles at phi 1 equal to phi 2. So we count this pole. So totally, there are four poles. Then the total number of fixed point of the previous one is given by the following number. So this completely agrees with the number of missing fixed points. So we count the previous fixed point. And by calculating the residue integration, we obtain the following polynomial. And actually, this polynomial completely agrees with the Poincaré polynomial of Higgs branch moduli space of this theory. So our calculation agrees with the Reinecke's formula. And finally, I'm gonna talk about the U2 times U2 Kuiper quantum mechanics, which has K arrows. And we have phi and z at this node, and these guys are 2x2 matrix. And at this node, we have a phi tilde and z tilde at this node. And these guys are also 2x2 matrix. And now we have a by fundamental representation of QAIJ prime. So I runs from 1 and 2, and J prime runs from 1 and 2. And in this case, a little bit interesting because there is a pole of vector multiplet which we can pick up because the fixed point satisfies the F term and D term constraints. In the previous examples, we couldn't pick up poles from the vector multiplet because such fixed points do not satisfy the constraints. But in this case, we can take poles from the vector multiplet. But at first, we assume z and z tilde equal to zero. And in this case, we don't pick up the pole from the vector multiplet. And in this case, in this theory, we have four integration variables, but one of those is a center of mass. So we pick up three poles in the partition function. So we choose three non-vanishing components of QAIJ prime. And the possible contribution is given by the following matrix. And as I mentioned earlier, we can take a pole from the vector multiplet, and the other type of fixed point is given by the following. One is from vector multiplet, and the other comes from the chiral multiplet, and totally three poles. And in this case, the fixed point is given by like this. And at this fixed point, the F term, and now Z is not zero, so we have to consider the F term constraint. And inserting the fixed point to the constraint, the F term constraint is given by the following equation, and the D term constraint is given by the following equations. But now we introduce the infinitesimal parameter delta here and here, because otherwise the solution of z become the solution of z and z tilde becomes zero. In that case, the FY parameter is on the wall of marginal stability, so we have to shift the FY parameter to stabilize the field configuration. But this modification does not spoil the theta stability condition. And solving the F term and D term constraint, the solution becomes the following. And actually, if we take the limit where delta goes to zero, z and z tilde become zero. And we have to avoid this. And now, if we take delta is positive and theta is positive, as this case is satisfied, and we pick up poles. And there are another type of fixed point, but in any case, after the integration, the partition function is given by the following. And this result agree with the wall closing formula, including the numerical factor. Okay, let me summarize. We have derived the exact partition function of n equal 4 Cuiber quantum mechanics by localization, and we have shown the several examples of Cuiber quantum mechanics, which includes the non-abelian Cuiber, such as U2 times U3 and the U2 times U2 case. And we found that our result consistent with the Poincaré polynomial of Higgs branch moduli space, and also wall closing formula. Thank you very much.
So you can still compare it with the Reinecke formula.
Sorry.
You can still compare it with the Reinecke
formula. Yes.
Is it possible to just show that the localization answer for a sick quiver is the same? For general,
generically, yes. I don't know. I just tried to the small rank. I just compare the up to the U2 times U2 and U2 times U3. So I don't know the generic computation because generic computation is very difficult by even by using the localization. So I don't know. higher rank case is difficult.
So I couldn't quite catch. So what are the rules for which poles you pick? So you have some integral, but then you need to analyze for each pole if there is a solution of that term in different equations. So is the difficulty that you have a big integral, but for each pole you pick, you need to go and analyze a term in different equations?
Yes, yes.
So there is no easy pole prescription that would be tell you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, especially U2 times U3 case, the pole structure was difficult to find out. Yeah, because it is easy to find out such a fixed point, but to find out the this fixed point is was difficult to find out from the BRC equation. So I don't know the generic structure of the fixed point in generic case.
So an expression like definite partition function is actually deceptive. Because, I mean, you couldn't feed it to mathematics and get an answer unless.
We use the mathematica. So.
But you need to. So you need to find, go and find which combination of poles the solution of determined equation.
In this case?
Yes.
In this case, there's no F-term constant because we choose the poles from the chiral match plate.
Other question? Is it clear that the F-term and D-term constraints that you get from writing down the BPS equations are the same as the constraints that you get from saying that you want a pole?
Yes. The denominator of the partition function is just a BRC fixed point. So we have to pick up the poles which satisfy the D-term and F-term constraints. So we cannot pick up all the poles of the denominator. So this should be careful. There are some poles which do not satisfy the constraints. So in that case, we should not pick up poles.
So it is the same or different from the JK
pole? I don't understand the JK residue formula, but I think similar thing happens in the JK residue formula because the JK residue formula has some rules to pick up poles.
Yeah, but they seem to be simpler than going and finding solutions. So
I think so.
For U2 times U2 case, I think the answer is different from JK.
Really? But you get the.
You fixed one half factor.
I fixed it.
Does that factor come from? Where does that factor come from? In your paper, I thought that there is no such factor.
I have to say that a factor problem is now solved. And
you just put it by hand.
We have to carefully think about the D-term consonant, and we have to introduce the infinitesimal parameter delta. And there are four candidates of the poles, but carefully by seeing the D-term consonant and two of four is correct poles. But in the previous work, we overcounted. So now, by considering correctly the D-term consonant, we get the complete agreement with the world cross formula now.
The formula in your paper was
wrong. I have to replace that. Yeah, actually now, this problem is now fixed, but we do not replace the archive. So our paper is accepted by JHEP, and after the publication of the JHEP, I replaced the paper. And in this paper, I wrote the correct answer about these things. And actually, Perugini said that we should get the correct answer. Maybe because we were wrong. But actually, we were wrong, and we didn't carefully consider the data consonant.
Any other question?
Thank you very much.